Vote shaming in the two-party system is so broken.
Hello, welcome to the Prickly City Podcast for October 28th, 2016. I'm Janine Fadich, and here is your host and the creator of Prickly City, Scott Stantis.
God, is it already October? October's almost over.
It is.
Oh, man. Where's the time go?
Closer and closer to the election, so that part's good.
I was thinking closer and closer to death, but same thing, really. Same thing. Thank you, Janine, and thank you, everyone, for listening to this week's edition of the Prickly City Podcast. I actually have made a case this week of the two-party system is indeed broken. And how voting for a third party, whether or not it's Jill Stein or it's Gary Johnson, of course, the guy I've been endorsing throughout this campaign, or what's his name in Utah? Tallman?
Evan something or other. Mullen?
Let's go with Mullen.
Yeah, something like that.
So anyway, regardless, I was talking to someone who works for a think tank, a political think tank, and I love this line. He says, your vote matters, it just doesn't count. And let me explain what that means. The closest any presidential election was in Maryland. I think it was 1828. It could be the 24 election, but I think it's 28, and it was four votes. Four votes. Even then, your vote doesn't matter. One vote difference would not have changed anything. So as a democracy, you need to vote. You need to get out, and I encourage everyone to do that, of course. But to say that your vote, my vote, if I vote for Gary Johnson, and by the way, I already have, is somehow going to elect somebody else, that's hogwash. That's just not true. So it also sends a message. If Johnson can get 6 to 10%, what that tells the powers that be is that there is a real and profound movement to somehow change this system. Now, I also had a line, which I think is one of the funniest I've written in a while. Honey Bunny is talking to Winslow, who's gone to work with his friend Carmen over at the Johnson campaign. He's left the Honey Bunny campaign, and he says, I'm voting my conscience. And she says, when you wake up the day after the election with a clear conscience, don't blame me. Well, apparently I'm getting quite some blowback.
Yeah, you're getting a lot of blowback on that. Let's say that FBJSR said voting third party ensures that the candidate you like the least gets elected. Nader pulled enough votes in Florida for Bush to win, and people who vote for Nader would have preferred Gore over Bush. Perot pulled enough for Clinton to win. Perot people would have taken Bush over Clinton every day. And Thedmo has said that he agrees with this guy. He thinks that you're basically, if you vote for Johnson, you're basically ensuring that Trump could win. That's what he's concerned about. He says that you're entitled to believe what you want and to express your ideas. I more often than not disagree with you, but advocating third-party voting in this year with so much at stake is reckless. He's worried about Trump becoming president.
Well, of course, and so am I. I'm a never Trump guy. I have been throughout the strip has been pretty adamant, and so have my editorial cartoons and my speeches and my podcast and anything else I do, basically, when I ramble to the neighbors, walking around the neighborhood kind of pointlessly, and they have to take me home. I couldn't disagree more. I still believe strongly in a third-party presence. I would love to see the ascent of a third party that is on all 50 state ballots, and I think the Libertarian Party has already done that. The Green Party, don't agree with him on anything. And there's a second part of this equation that's really driving me crazy. I've never addressed it in this podcast. I'm going to now. And that's the mainstream media's take on this election. They clearly have gotten into their heads that electing Donald Trump would be the end of the Republic. I don't know that I totally disagree with that, but be that as it may, their job is not to make that decision for me. It's to cover the election. So they get sent out marching orders. So they do things like hit pieces on Gary Johnson. Gary Johnson did a very, 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 very goofy things. I'm not going to dismiss that. But he was still a stronger candidate overall than the other two. In turns, they went after Jill Stein. Poor Dr. Jill Stein.
Well, yeah, and she's really not much of a threat.
No, she's 2 or 3%. And if you look at what's happened to the polls over the weekend since other events have happened, she's, 2 and 3% could make the difference. Here in my view, is the story, though. So the press goes after her. She's a physician. Years ago said she was against the vaccine report, the initial one that said it may have a connection with autism. Later, she said, we need to slow down vaccine, take a look at this and consider it. Other reports, many reports, a flood of reports came out and showed that was a bunch of BS. And with the exception of Jenny McCarthy, everyone recognizes that, including Dr. Jill Stein. I'm not a Jill Stein advocate. I do not agree with her on anything. But she did sit down with us here at the Chicago Tribune for an editorial board meeting. And she was terrific. She, could articulate her arguments well. She wasn't loopy. She wasn't a joke. She wasn't an anti-vaxxer. She wasn't some radical advocate. And I have to believe that the Democratic Party sent out some kind of either implicitly or covertly saying that we need to take these guys out. They're a threat. Johnson was polling at between 10% and 14%. Johnson's on the ascent. We need to destroy them. And they did. Gary Johnson is going to get 6%, maybe. I find it infuriating. I sound like a conspiracy nut, but honest to goodness, recent polls have shown that less than 7% of newsrooms in America now consider themselves, people who work in them, are either conservative or Republican. So, you're going to get that skew and that spin on the news that you're normally, that, they try not to. And I've worked with journalists most of my life. Many of them are very, very good, but they still have a little bit of a prejudice that, we're informed.
Because they're people.
Well, sort of.
People do.
Most of them. Not all. Let's not go nuts. So anyway, that's my rant there.
Well, I was getting back to wasting your vote on a third-party candidate, that you're going to get the candidate you like least, but then that would just also be a reason for there should not even be third parties. They shouldn't run.
Right.
Because you would also say then that Jill Stein would probably ideologically prefer Hillary to Trump, and yet her running could ensure, or people think, ensure that Clinton could win. I think basically you just want to get your ideas out there so people can hear them and think about them. And
you know what? If it does have an impact, good. If it has a negative impact, great. You know why? Because then maybe this country and the powers that be will finally recognize that there's something more than two parties that are so ensconced and so entwined in the vested interests that, by the way, do not give a rip about you or me.
And there is Johnny Doc 5 who agrees.
Yay.
He says maybe if either party put a palatable choice out there, people would be inclined to vote for them. Third party choices won't win probably, but I'm tired of people whining about people not voting red or blue, wasting their votes, especially if they can only tell me why I shouldn't vote for the other guy.
Yeah, and that's all we've been hearing this election, by the way. We're not hearing, who has the best vision, Trump or Hillary. Well, neither one of them. One of them's a crook and the other one's a maniac. So, and you decide which one's which.
Everyone I have talked to on either side has said that, especially if you're even discussing third parties, it's like, depending on which side they're on, oh my God, do you want Clinton to win? Oh my God, do you want Trump to win?
Well, that's what you said the comments are saying.
Yeah,
and
that's
the
what they're saying, too.
Is that, it's all depends, again, comes back to whose ox is being gored. Isn't that always the case?
Yep.
Well, listen, thank you. Is there any other comments we want to get to today? You got them all? We did them all?
No, but what time is it? Are we running out of time?
How about one more?
One more. Let's see. Okay. Paul Scon wants to know, what is Scott's love affair with Johnson? Has he even looked at his platform? And there's no way Hillary is the bitch he's showing her to be. I used to like this strip. Maybe I will again after the election. Or maybe not. And Christopher Shea has said, I suspect this strip is going to be 4 years of, look how horrible this Hillary Clinton surrogate I've imagined is.
It might be. You're presuming that she'll win. I'm looking at the polls. I'm not convinced of this. And you know what? I mean, I am a cynic. I am a cynic about all sides. And my reason I like Johnson is because I think he's to be as transparent as the Hillary people want to be about the latest emails. To be as transparent as I can be, I think he's probably a moderate Republican more than anything else. Fiscally conservative and socially, who gives a crap?
Which is pretty much what you are.
Yeah, pretty much. So who knows? Maybe it will be 4 years of that. I hope I don't hit that one note over and over, but we'll see. Stay tuned. Listen, thank you for listening to this week's edition of the Prickly City Podcast. Thank you, Janine. Thank you, Michael Heidemann, who's waving and looking adorable, as always. I wish I was that adorable. Was I ever that adorable?
Yes, you were and still are.
Oh, thank you. And thank you to WGN. And if you want to keep following us, go to WGN Plus. You can also subscribe to us through that or through iTunes. And if you want to keep up with what's going on with all the characters with Winslow and Honey Bunny and Carmen, go to gocomics.com/Prickly City. And if you want to drop us a line, send it on over to PricklyCity@gmail.com. That's about it, right?
That's it.
Okay, thank you. Until next time, we'll see you in the funny papers.